Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is indeed. Welcome inside the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios with me. How are you today? Sometimes the day unfolds in a way you just never expected it to unfold, and that's kind of what today is. And that's not a bad thing. Let me give you a quick update on some of the stories that we're looking at here at Armed American Radio Daily Defense, and then I'm going to ignore them all except for one quote because I'm going to bring in Rob Pincus for just the remainder of the hour. But for just a couple seconds, I want to take a look at some of these stories because we'll talk about these throughout the week, and no doubt a few of them will make it into the lineup for the Sunday broadcast. And I do want to let you know also that Ann Coulter will be joining me on Sunday in segment one of hour one. So you want to make sure to tune in for that. She's a firecracker. We've had her on the program before, as you know, and she loves coming on the show. So we'll have some fun with Ann Coulter. Not sure what we'll talk about. Not a whole lot going on, really, right? Yeah, okay. First off, Dick's Sporting Goods today, the Wall Street Journal, is out admitting that their position on firearms is hurting their sales. Well, you know. Big deal. Who cares? We knew that was going to happen. Their CEO decides to put politics above your right to bear arms and decides that he doesn't want to carry any products that you use to hunt with or to defend yourself with. And they wiped out that whole section out of their Dick's stores and Field and Stream stores. And big deal. You know why? Because that's one less big box retailer jacking up prices. We can now go to buy those products where we should be going anywhere, and that's anyway, and that's our local mom and pop shops. So good for Dick's for doing that. The heck with you. Keep your politics. We're not doing business with you, and you will continue to see those brands suffer because while we're in there, we would have normally bought something else as well. I know in the past I had gone to Dick's Sporting Goods to buy things for my boat, but I don't anymore, and I won't. There are other places for me to go to buy those things, and I do, and so should you. So that's the market working. Number one. Number two, Cody Wilson in the news. Gotta love Cody Wilson, man. He's just driving the left. Absolutely bat satellite radio moment word. Insane. Crazy. I mean, he's driving them nuts. Here he is, CBS This Morning, as they try to blame him or attack him. You know, 3D printable guns. And we're going to talk with Rob Pincus about this. Why I want Rob to hear this as well. They try to attack him, and Cody's as cool as a cucumber. So we got, what's his name over there at CBS News? What's his name over there? CBS is John Dickerson, you know, this unbiased source of quote-unquote news reporting. Take a listen to this line of questioning to Cody Wilson.
Recently, there was a shooting at a Madden game tournament by somebody who had a history of mental health issues. Presumably, they could get your file and use it. Does that concern you?
Sure. I mean, there's always the possibility that people with a history of mental illness can get access to information and somehow do something bad with it. But we live in a nation of laws, and you should prosecute crimes after the fact. You know, this gentleman who shot up this game tournament in Florida legally bought that firearm. The law is there to prevent bad things from happening, but to do no more than that.
But, Cody, after the fact here is a situation where people are already dead.
Sorry, there's a First Amendment and there's a Second Amendment. Congress shall make no law, and the right shall not be infringed. It's a pretty easy text. It's not very complicated.
Cody, recently...
Notice how they tried... Well, see, I'm going to stop it. Notice how they tried to blame Cody and pin him down. Now, let's go right to Rob Pincus with this. Rob, I got to ask you some questions. First of all, welcome to the show. How you doing, brother?
Great, man. Good to be here. Appreciate you having me on this afternoon.
I couldn't wait to get you on. You know why? Because it's just a whole lot less work for me. I'm just going to tell you that right up front, you know. I'm tired. Yes. And honestly, because, you know, you are fun to have on the program, and it is. It's a lot less work for me because my preparation is cut in half because I know I can go a certain direction with you, and I know you're going to really give listeners great information and not rely on me to have to bang you with a bunch of questions all the time. So here's the thing. Let's go first off to the 3D gun. Okay, now, you've seen this thing, right? The pistol?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, now, I'm assuming...
The whole thing, the whole controversy.
Okay, well, what would you think if somebody showed up with one of those to your class?
Well, I mean, it's not a tenable firearm for a class like that. I mean, I think we've all seen demos online of them kind of falling apart after the first shot. And obviously, you know, we don't have much luck with 1911s in class, let alone a plastic 3D printed gun put together with a file and some epoxy.
Yeah, and so the point that I'm trying to make, obviously I'm kind of funning with this thing, is this is not a reliable firearm. It shoots one round. Many of them have blown up. We've all seen the videos of the stuff. Nobody's going to use this thing to walk into a Madden game tournament. I mean, the whole premise is an absolute joke. These people are utterly clueless about what they're talking about. And Dickerson just made, is that his name, Dickerson? I don't watch CBS this morning. I try not to anyway. John Dickerson made a fool of himself, and you could hear Cody chuckle. It was fun to watch it on the video. So suffice to say, you know, not real impressed, right? One of the nation's greatest firearms and self-defense experts and trainers is not real impressed with this thing, at least now.
No, I'm impressed with the concept. I think the concept is incredibly important. I don't think that this, you know, referencing this gun, if somebody wanted to make a comparison to, you know, the attack on what Gabby Giffords, if somebody wanted to start talking about, you know, weird conspiracy assassination attempts, you know, is this single, essentially what becomes a single shot gun, you know, can we have a discussion about that? We can have a discussion about that, and then we're going to talk about the metal parts that are inside of the gun, the bullet itself, the things that could be detected by metal detectors. We can have all those conversations, but let's not have a conversation about that gun being used in a spree killing like we saw tragically in Jacksonville this week.
Which is fascinating, and that's exactly right, and it fascinates me to see John Dickerson at CBS. I mean, you should see the quizzical look on his face. He looks puzzled. He's trying to blame Cody Wilson and present his misunderstanding of the issue, the gun itself, onto Cody and ask this question of why does this keep happening? When, in fact, that shooting, by the way, didn't even qualify under FBI guidelines as a mass shooting. But the media had already put the narrative out, so they continue to run with it. I know I'm, to some people, it might sound like I'm playing semantics and I'm parsing words, but I'm not. There were more mass shootings in Chicago over the weekend that John Dickerson isn't asking about. And I just want to make that point very, very clear. Rob, you saw the video, I'm assuming, of what happened in Jacksonville. I did. It's quite disturbing. Would you agree with that?
The video with the audio track as the attack starts, is that one?
Yeah, with the laser aiming device. We don't know which one he used. There are many out there. But what was your thought? I honestly was very disturbed by the video, and I knew what was going to come next, and I was proven right. Tell me what you thought as a trainer, as an educator, who gets a lot of questions about should I have a laser on my gun, this type of thing. Tell me what you thought when you saw that video.
Yeah, it's a hard video to watch. I think, and again, the audio one, the outbreak of it was out right away. I think all of them are. You know what? What occurs to me really is how important it is for people. The first thing I think whenever I see or hear any of that stuff is that it's important for people who might be in a denial phase that this could ever happen, or the people who have kind of delusions of grandeur about how smoothly or calmly they might respond to such a thing should they be caught in one with their family. I think it's really important for people to see that level of chaos, to see the level of true reaction prior to any kind of response, whether it be trained or improvised, that human beings go through in those moments. I think as instructors, it's important for us to always factor that in. And I think certainly as people interested in being prepared to protect our families and talking to our families and talking to our coworkers about these things, we need to factor in that initial shock value, the surprise, and the chaos, the unpredictability of exactly what's going to be happening next.
You know, and that great response, because it's so true. And we try to train ourselves for this. And I guess this is something that you and I have talked about together on the show for years. We've met at various venues. We've had conversations with people. We've worked together with people. We've written books together. We wrote a book together about this stuff. What I felt more than anything on that video, this is just coming off the cuff for me right now. I had a sick feeling when I watched that, because the laser dancing on that young man's chest, who would be killed in seconds. Seconds later, he would be dead. And to see that showed me not a level of sophistication, but it showed me how these murderers target their victims. We were able to see the gun through the visible laser picking an individual to murder, and went right past one individual to that individual sitting, to that young man sitting at that desk. And I was disturbed by that when I saw that, because I have seen and heard so much of this over the years. But for some reason, I don't think I've ever seen one with the laser. And it showed it showed intent to me that we've not seen on other videos before. Would you agree with that? We've got 30 seconds.
Absolutely. It shows deliberate intent. It shows targeting. And it shows that there. It also, I think, reveals something that we always talk about. We've talked about in Lessons from Under America, that there is time to act. There are moments to take action. And that's why overcoming that reaction and that denial and that shock is so important, because there is that delay between. It's not like you instantly are injured or wounded or incapacitated or killed just because of the bad guy in the room. There are moments where you can take action.
All right, when we come back, let's continue that. How can we take action in that? Let's go in that direction. Very disturbing footage. I think video clip. I think every American needs to see it, and every American needs to hear it. All of us do. Rob Pincus, famed trainer. When we come back, a new rejoiner. I think you'll like it. Okay, gun lovers, it's the end of the line. How'd you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the USCCA wants to give you a free gun right now. But this is your absolute last chance to win. They're giving away a different gun every single day, but it all ends Friday. So you're almost out of time. You have to hurry. You've got to hurry. Just go to armedandresponsible.com to get entered right now. And it's not just one gun. You could get up to 17 chances to win your gun each day. It could be 17 Kimbers, 17 Glocks, maybe even that new SIG, but they're all gone Friday. All you have to do is go to armedandresponsible.com to reveal which gun you could take home today. But remember, there's not a lot of time. The gun of the day always disappears at midnight. It disappears at midnight, and it all ends on Friday. So don't miss out. The clock is ticking. Just go to armedandresponsible.com to get entered to win your free gun right now. That's armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com. Remember, the gun of the day always disappears at midnight, and it all ends Friday. armedandresponsible.com. Good luck.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get 4 free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneof4guns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is, and I have a special guest in here with me, and I have some fun stuff to play here. Let's check this out. First time it's ever been heard. Now, here's a man who's not afraid to challenge the status quo and ask the hard questions. Back to Rob Pincus. Oh, don't you love that? Yeah, that's professionally done, too, by Mr. Pincus himself. Rob, well, how you doing?
Good. I wonder where that's going to be used in the future.
I don't know, but let's hold off on that. Or should we mention that you're going to be doing? What do you think?
I think you've done enough damage. I think my texts are lighting up as we speak already.
Okay. How about we stop right there? You want to do that?
Yeah.
And we'll tease that out later. But that's interesting. That was kind of fun. I like that. Not sure what that means, but I'm sure we'll talk about it in the very near future. All right, Rob. Let's go back to, I could have fun with that, but I'm not going to. I better shut that off because you know what's going to happen. That thing's going to automatically just jump up and bite me and play on itself again. So I'm going to go ahead and mute that. There we go. That way I take that responsibility away from Shonto and Dallas. All right. Let's go back, to Jacksonville. It's the video disturbing. And then, of course, there were a lot of offshoots of that. After I saw the video, I wanted to reach out to you and talk with you about that, get some opinions. I did with some other people as well that are in the community to find out their thoughts on it. We just got your thoughts on it and did it publicly, which is great. And then, of course, there's the political stuff that naturally comes with that. There wasn't even a true body count. And we had people calling for more gun control. David Hogg was tweeting out to Marco Rubio, what are you going to do? How many more people in your state have to be shot or mass shootings have to happen before you, quote unquote, do something? And then, of course, we find out the facts. This kid bought the guns legally in Maryland. 7-step process to even before you go in to pick up the gun. Picking up the gun is the 8th step. Very difficult process in Maryland to acquire a handgun. He had 2. There's 1 gun a month. So we can assume that if he planned it out, he planned it for over a month because he had to buy 2 guns or did buy 2 guns. Whatever the case may be. So all of this stuff comes together. But in the here and now, the thing that really matters more than anything, and what made me sick to my stomach, and I've covered so many of these, I hate to admit this, Rob, but you almost become numb to this. When I look at the numbers in Chicago, I've been covering them for years. It's almost like a scorecard, and it disgusts me. But we're the only outlet and a couple others that talk about it all the time. We bring attention to it. And when I saw that video and I knew that that young man would be killed with a smile on his face as he was playing that video game, I got sick to my stomach because, as you said in the previous segment, we saw the intent. I saw it, but he didn't. What can we do to change that so maybe he could have seen it?
Well, I think that's what we do. You know, you're doing it every day. I do it every time I'm on the show. There's an army of people out there trying to raise awareness, right, that these things can happen. I think, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the conversation, as we always lament, goes to the politics of it. And one of the things that I think people are getting more tuned into, and really surprising on all sides, I have had some amazing conversations in the last 2 weeks. There's some projects that people have been following my social media. They've seen the announcement of Walk the Talk America, an organization formed by Mike Sedini, invited me to be on the board. Some other people that are pretty well known in the firearms industry have also been invited and accepted positions on the board. And we're talking to people in the mental health profession about what they're seeing and our stigma of gun ownership, and it prevents and precludes real conversations because of everything being skewed to politics. Whenever you try to bring up things about safety and awareness and personal defense, far too often in the town square, the common areas of discussion. And then people in the mental health profession deal with the same thing. They have this, there's a stigma with mental health. There's the stigma of people asking for help. And the intersections come at suicide. The intersections come at gun responsibility and preventing unauthorized access that leads to tragic teenage suicides in gun-owning families. The intersect comes at the veteran who suffers and won't ask for help because he's afraid he'll lose his Second Amendment rights if he asks for help, you know, in the wrong way or from the wrong people. So these conversations need to happen. And this raising of awareness that it's okay to talk about responsible gun ownership, that gun ownership isn't demonized or blamed. Same thing from our side. We can't just point fingers. And I've seen it time and time again over the last, what has been 48 hours. Oh, well, he was on SSRIs or he was, he's mentally ill, as if that ends the conversation. You know, somebody sold him those guns. I imagine that he bought those accessories. I imagine we'll find out that he went to ranges and shot and practiced. And people in his family group, people in his peer group who knew that he was suffering with these mental issues that absolutely could have affected his judgment, absolutely could have affected his propensity for rage, who may have been able to intervene. And again, I whenever I say this, I get accused of, you know, arguing for gun control. I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about friends and family and gun owners in this guy's circle of influence that could potentially have intervened directly. And if they weren't comfortable doing that and they thought it rose to the level or was going to rise at a level that it actually rose to on Sunday afternoon in Jacksonville, then so be it. They go to the authorities. And that's kind of the way it has to be. But if we bury our heads in the sand and act like, well, you know, it's hardly a big deal. If we say very, very, very few gun owners, very, very, very few guns are ever used in things like this, or these things happen very rarely, which all are true, by the way. But if we stop the conversation there, what's mental health going to do? Mental health professionals will point out very readily that very, very, very few people diagnosed with mental illnesses in this country actually commit acts of violence. So if we stop there with this rarely happens, nothing ever gets done. And my fear is that obviously the legislation will fall against us, that the funding won't be appropriately allocated on the mental health side to try to prevent suicide, to try to encourage awareness, to encourage people asking for help, to encourage intervention at the family and local level. And that's why shows like this and you speaking up about these things and addressing them are so important.
You know, it's interesting that we talked about suicide. I had a medical doctor, and I didn't realize we were going to go. I would have pulled that information up. Listener, I want to apologize. I'll have to go back and do that. I'd like to bring her back on the program, but it was 2 years ago at SHOT Show we brought this up. And what I found interesting, Rob, and I have to admit that I'm guilty of it myself, during the Obama years, the mental health and Obamacare and insurance was being weaponized against gun owners to create a gun control monster underneath the radar. In fact, Barack Obama told the Brady campaign, "Don't worry about it, I'm working on it. I just have to do it under the radar." So there was this lack of trust, obviously, between gun owners and the administration, no doubt about it, and the Democrats as a whole. And we didn't want to talk about suicide because the left was using that as a tool to come after us. And I had this young woman, this young MD, on site at the SHOT Show talking about this with us. And all of a sudden, we're beginning to see this, the suicide issue become very prevalent on our side of the aisle. And I think that's fantastic. In fact, Alan Gottlieb, as you know, is involved with some things with the Second Amendment Foundation. So I think there's movement on this, and I'm glad to see that. And I'm proud to see our side take the lead on that for the very specific reasons that you just mentioned. When we come back, I want to find out a little bit more about WTTA and find out what you're doing with it. I did see the video that you put out. I think it's great stuff. And I'm glad to see us taking advantage of this and taking the initiative here and not being put on the defensive here. I think that's how we control this narrative finally, because as gun owners, we know what works. We know what works. We'll be back with Rob Pincus right after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark. You've probably heard me mention the USCCA recently, right? I do it all the time. Of course, they're the best. Well, today I want to tell you about what happened to one of their members and how the USCCA stepped in to help. Buddy Shepard is a veteran, a former police officer, and he's a father. But one day, the screwed-up legal system turned on him. You see, when his daughter's angry ex-boyfriend threatened to hurt Buddy's family and showed up on his doorstep with a gang of thugs, he did what any responsibly armed American would do. He protected his family. But when the cops showed up, they arrested Buddy. He faced years in jail and an expensive legal battle he couldn't afford. So Buddy called the USCCA. He got the help and money he needed to beat the charges against him and go home. So ask yourself, what if this happened to you tomorrow? Shouldn't someone have your back too? That's why I want you to go to usccaonair.com today to learn how the USCCA can help protect you. Because you need to have a plan. Again, that's usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. Go there. That's usccaonair.com. And I'll see you on the radio.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions because, believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Yeah, you definitely are. It's the end of the line here for the Armed and Responsible deal. I think I misled you. I think I told you it was last Friday. But I got to, you know, I got to tell you, I was just reading something. Don't hold it against me. Here's the cool part. Look at it as it's been extended. And it makes sense because this is the last week of the month. So it would only make sense that the promotion wouldn't stop 3 weeks into the month, right? Yeah, it makes sense to me. But here's what I'm talking about. If you want to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun, the USCCA wants to make that happen for you right now because they're giving away a gun a day every single day, but it ends on Friday. Sometimes it's more than one gun. It could be three, and it could be up to 17. That's why you have or could get up to 17 chances to win each day. All you have to do is go to armedandresponsible.com right now to get entered to win the gun. The guns change at midnight every night, so don't get too picky here because it's coming up quickly. It ends on Friday, okay? They're all gone. It's done. Armedandresponsible.com will reveal which gun you could take home today. But again, remember, there's not a lot of time, so make sure to head over there right away. The clock is ticking on this. Let's go back to Mr. Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome back to the program. As I was closing out, Was there anything you wanted to add to what I said? Did you want to take issue with anything relative to – because I'm proud to see our side jump on this from a suicide angle, Rob, because I think as gun owners, we're the ones that actually know what's going on, not the people like John Dickerson who can't tell the difference between a plastic gun and think a Glock can magically get through security. I mean, these people know nothing, yet we know real gun safety in the terms that the words really truly mean, not gun control politically, but real safety, don't we?
We do, and I think the segment that got left out of that, talk about the media, and then we talk about the gun owners. There's probably two segments here. Like the politicians who probably know even less than the media potentially. And then we've got the mental health professionals. And that's what the WTTA that we were talking about before that right. break really is all about. It's specific outreach. So you mentioned the Second Amendment Foundation getting involved in suicide prevention. Of course, the National Shooting Sports Foundation has been involved in suicide prevention for a long time. The New Hampshire Firearm Safety Council just had a big meeting, I don't know, maybe 10 days ago with Masad Ayoub spoke at it. They've got a great track record of providing resources and information to gun shops and ranges and gun owners in New Hampshire that really think they're trying to do a nice push to take that program national. So we've had these initiatives before, and I think that one of the things that really I want to see done differently, and I know that WTTA as a whole wants to see done differently, is give more of a voice to the mental health professionals with the advice and input from firearms industry leaders. So, some of the entities that are out there in mental health really are very much neutral on the topic of the gun or the topic of a drug or the topic of a car or the topic of the thing that might be dangerous or used dangerously by someone who's suffering from mental issues. They're much more interested in talking about the actual issues and talking about, not necessarily the symptom, but the disease or the way that the family and the community and, of course, funding from politicians and state and local and federal policies can be set to help people who need help. They're not interested in some of the ones we're talking to. They're certainly not interested in demonizing any of the things. And the issue comes down to, yes, we know gun safety. We know gun handling, but we don't know mental health. Right, necessarily. So it's got to be a combination of voices. It's got to be, we can talk about whether or not something's tenable. So someone might say, okay, if you want to avoid risk of having a tragedy with a teenager and guns in your home, then just don't have guns in your home. Okay, well, that may be easy to say if you don't understand the value and the reason why someone might want to have guns in the home. And that comes from our side. So we can explain, here's the benefits people are trying to get. Here's the things people want. Here's the things that people have been doing for the most part very, very safely and responsibly. How do we help them? Because we can't just say get rid of the gun and reduce risk factors, right? If you don't want to be in a car accident, don't drive and don't ride in a car and don't go near streets. Well, that's not very tenable advice either. So how do we help people solve problems from an educated point of view? That takes a discussion. That takes a dialogue.
Yeah, it takes a dialogue that is, because there's just so much involved here, and this goes so deep. Example, just on the surface, the trust. There's a trust factor here. I told you flat out, I'm talking to you when I had the young woman, the young MD on at SHOT Show a couple years ago talking about this issue. You'll note that was after the election of Donald Trump. And honestly, there again, the trust factor, I think, is what's going to have to be overcome. Rob, let me go back to you. If it were an Obama appointed mental health professional who had worked with, and we had all read, was quoting the bullet points, if you will, the talking points from every town for gun safety relative to suicide statistics, I don't think anybody out there on our side of we're not going to even want to talk to this person. Okay. So this is an issue that we're going to have. So where do we go to find these people that we know we can trust to give us the straight scoop and not the political angle?
Well, I think if you're talking to someone about suicide intervention and they start off with, well, no one should have guns anyway. Well, that's probably not somebody that we want to talk to, right?
That's a great point.
Same thing. If you talk to someone on our side, and mental health reaches across the aisle or reaches out to gun owners and says, "Hey, we want to talk to you about suicide prevention because there's an 80%+, depending on whose numbers you use, it's 80% to 90% efficacy rate of attempted suicides being successful when people use a firearm. And if what they hear is, oh, that's an exaggerated statistic, there's no way that's real, and firearms aren't a problem, and besides, that's only, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to the number of times guns are used to protect good people, so click, and they hang up. Well, then that's not the right person for the gun industry either, right? So it really does take someone being open to saying, yes, we understand that there are potential problems and they're worth addressing. And one of the things that really is striking, I think, is the overlap. If you look at some of the indicators, the at-risk indicators for someone who might commit suicide or attempt suicide, whether it's with a firearm or otherwise, a lot of those indicators are also present for the spree killer. So while we can sit here and say, well, spree killing is sensationalized and there really aren't that many incidents, and if you look at the problems in Chicago with people killing each other with firearms or without, there's a much bigger epidemic of gun negligence and criminal activity with a gun than there is a spree killing issue. But we know that's where the media's attention is, that's where the public focus is, that's where a lot of politicians are focused. And if we can start some initiatives that would identify at-risk people for any type of act of violence, whether it's against themselves, as it would be for suicide, or against the community or other people, as it would be for a spree killing, I think we can start to have meaningful conversations. And those conversations really, by the way, aren't exclusive to suicide prevention or child safety, school safety, you know, public safety in terms of spree killing. We're also talking about firearms responsibilities and firearm, what constitutes firearms negligence. Mm-hmm. When you have a teen in the house that has been around guns all his life, but now he or she is a teenager and has a different way of looking at boundaries and a different way of looking at consequences than they did when they were 7, 8, 9, and they could, you know, recite the four safety rules and keep their finger off the trigger and do all those things that you saw them do for those number of years. Do kids change when they become teenagers? Absolutely. Does that mean that maybe the way the firearms are stored in the house or the way firearms are dealt with in the house should change? Possibly. You know, let's have that conversation informed by mental health professionals, not just random guesses from, you know, the guy who teaches SWAT teams how to clear a house.
Yeah, there are a lot of issues in play here. This is a very complicated issue, and the firearms community itself was rocked to its core. As you know, at the NRA convention 2 years ago in Atlanta, when a dear friend of mine and a lot of others, a man who I had just given a hug to and introduced to my family, I would find out literally hours later, shot and killed himself. It was very difficult to come to grips with, and none of us saw it coming. None of us saw a sign. So this is a complicated issue. Rob, we didn't get a chance to talk about the school shootings that weren't from NPR. You're welcome to stay another segment if you want to, but I know you're busy. I'll leave that up to you and put you on the spot. Can you stay, yes or no?
Let's do it. I think it's important to talk about.
Great, I agree. Thank you very much. We're going to do that, the school shooting that wasn't. Getting a quick handle on the mental health issue, you're going to hear us talk about this a lot more coming up on Monster Broadcasts in the future, on daytime radio, on this show in the future, as we kind of get our teeth into this a little bit. The Second Amendment Foundation is neck deep in this. As you know, we work very closely with them. And we'll be talking about it, no doubt, at the board meeting at the upcoming Gun Rights Policy Conference, September 21st through the 23rd. Register to go at saf.org. Back with Rob Pincus. Don't go away.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get 4 free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneof4guns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hey there, Mark Walters here. If you're a gun owner like me, or honestly, if you just really like getting free stuff, and you know I do, I talk about it all the time, you should head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. Seriously, there's always something great from the USCCA just waiting for you at armedandresponsible.com. Sometimes it's a free USCCA gun giveaway. Sometimes it's free training, but it's always worth a few seconds to check it out. After all, how often can you just type a few words and get something for free? It only takes a few seconds. Plus, anytime you go to armedandresponsible.com, you're going to find something to help you along your journey as a responsibly armed American. And that's what it's all about. The USCCA is the absolute leader when it comes to providing the education, training, and financial and legal protection gun owners need. Plus, they just love giving away free stuff, and I'm a big fan. Remember, these great free bonuses disappear regularly, so you're going to want to head over right now to see what's there today. You don't want to miss it. Head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. That's armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Wow, I hate running out of time. This is a fascinating conversation. Plus, I've got so much cool stuff I want to talk with you about. The Gun Box is going to be joining Armed American Radio. We got Taser out there now. We've got some great sponsors and more coming on. Of course, don't forget Mike Lindell and MyPillow. That guy's unbelievable. I had an amazing time with him personally, face-to-face with him for 2 hours up in Minnesota at the State Fair Show on Sunday. What a great guy. What an incredible story he is. Make sure you go back and listen to last Sunday's broadcast, hour one and hour two, when Mike was guest co-host with me at the 1280 AM, the Patriot booth. It was a great time. And we've got, of course, Armed and Responsible going on, armedandresponsible.com, the Gun A Day giveaway. Lots of great sponsors. Check all of our sponsors out at armedamericanradio.com. Rob, you had a social media post out today that is it hit on a column. I mean, you and I were working on the same cylinders today and didn't even know it before we chatted. The NPR piece is fascinating to me for a number of reasons. We'll go into it in a minute, but I think you're going to take a different take on it than I want to, which works perfectly because I'm going to talk about it over the weekend show, probably beginning this week as well on the daytime show. But you put out further proof that gun violence, quote unquote, isn't really the issue we need to be worried about, especially when it comes to kids. The issue we need to pay attention to is, quote unquote, gun negligence. And the NPR piece is titled, as I said in the previous segment, The School Shootings That Weren't. This is an unbelievable piece here by NPR that opens up a lot of eyeballs. I mean, it didn't really shock me because I knew the numbers, but I think the general public, if they see this piece, would be blown away. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, really, it's may even be from the political standpoint, the media awareness standpoint, just because it really tells an inconvenient truth, if you will, that a lot of the anti-gun or pro-gun control news stories don't obviously want to talk about, because they're the perpetuators of this myth that the numbers are much higher than they are when it comes to school violence with firearms. And even when it comes to things like we hear about the number of people killed with guns, and it goes back to some of the other things we've talked about on the show today, the number of people killed with guns includes quite often suicide. The number of teens or kids killed with guns includes negligence, accidents, and suicides, as opposed to like violence that we normally would think about when we hear.
Well, it includes gangbangers too. It includes gangbanging too. So we want to throw that in there.
Right. So that's where exactly where I was going. So it includes, you know, street crime over drug territory in the city of Chicago, right, when a 16-year-old you know, gets killed in a gang willful combative initiative, you know, equal guys shooting each other across the street kind of event, not the kind of tragedy we think of when we think of a school shooting. So not that that's not tragic, but it's tragic for different reasons, of course. So for them to tell that story and say that of the 235 reported shootings, and this is just in one school district, it turns out they aren't real. They either the school won't follow up and give details to verify it. I think that was something like in over 50 of the incidents, they just couldn't even get a response. They couldn't confirm or deny. And then in so many of the incidents, it turns out that there was no actual shooting event. There was no use of a firearm, or there was no one injured, or there was some other way that this number was just a sensationalized hyperbolic number. And it just probably is just peeling back the surface a little bit on this misinformation campaign that's been going on in regard to kids and guns. You know, as I've said for years, if you walk into the mall and you have two guys raising funds or asking you to sign a petition or whatever it is, and one guy's got an AR over his shoulder and he's screaming, "Shall not be infringed," and quoting the founding fathers, and another person standing on the other side of the mall entryway saying, "Hey, we want to protect kids and we want to keep kids safe." I think most people, most average Americans who aren't, you know, diehard gun people, are more likely, if they only have one $5 bill, to throw it to the "we want to protect kids." The problem is our side wants to protect kids, right? It's like that hashtag plot twist. We're trying to protect kids and keep them safe too, whether that's by carrying guns so we can, in the moment, protect our kids in the public space, or having guns in our home to protect our kids when they're asleep at night, or protect kids by advocating for firearm safety and responsibility. And that's really what I think is really so important about this. If we look at what's actually being reported, whether it was a gun showed up at the school or there was allegedly a gun scare, I think it's so important to realize that it's gun negligence, it's gun education, it's gun responsibility that we really need to be addressing, not this boogeyman, if you will, of gun violence.
Yeah, what a great take on this. Let me actually give the numbers out, listeners, so you understand exactly what Rob is discussing here. Nearly 200, this is the U.S. Department of Education, reported that in 2015 through 16, for that year, for that one school year, nearly 240 schools reported at least one incident involving a school-related shooting. Where do we hear these numbers all the time? They spit out by Every Town for Gun Safety and all of the professional gun prohibitionists. And then what in turn happens? The mainstream press relies on those numbers from them because they're the experts in gun safety. It's not us. We're the demon. All we want to do is support murder, right? According to some of the kids from Parkland, were murderers. In reality, what happened was NPR said, let's take a look at this. Out of the numbers, only 11 were confirmed independently by NPR. 4 incidents were miscategorized. 59 could not be confirmed or disconfirmed, but 161 of them, the schools themselves or the districts themselves, attested that no incident took place or they could not confirm one. Rob, look, the conspiracy nut could easily say, when you look at 2015, 2016, that this was, yet again, weaponized numbers by a department, by a governmental agency under the Barack Obama administration. It wouldn't be too much of a stretch to hear that. And again, the trust factor comes into play. Who's putting these numbers out, and where are they coming from if the school districts won't even confirm them?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Is the issues that surround Even there's a paper, a story in the paper today, or going around social media today about a shooting that apparently happened in Denver within the last 24 hours. Some incident with a firearm happened at some school district. And I guess the way the police have handled it and the way the media has handled it and the way the school system is even handling it really is hurting our ability to even know what happened here in Denver and be able to talk about it. And the problem is that anybody can take those numbers and kind of push them in whichever direction they want. And then when you try, and this is what NPR is, I think, revealing here, even when you try to get the truth, issues of, well, we don't want to talk about that, right? Of course, in the aftermath, the school district looks back and says, well, gee, do we want parents pulling their kids out of our school if we had three gun-related incidents last year? No. So let's not talk to the media about it. And, of course, that means not talking to the parents, and that means not informing the community. And that means that this misreported or miscalculated potential stays in the numbers because the school won't come out and say, no, that didn't happen, or yes, it did happen. And it just casts this huge shadow of doubt across anything that's being talked about. And I'm one of those guys that I don't like to do statistics. That's why I even earlier when I was talking about the efficacy of suicide attempts with firearms, one organization says 82%, one organization says 91%. I'll say 80 to 90%, and I know I'm in the ballpark, and that's good enough for the conversation. Because you know what? The difference between 81% and 91% doesn't matter. If you try to kill yourself with a firearm, you're probably going to be successful, and that's what we want to get in front of. So the details of the numbers don't matter, but when you see numbers like this, when you go from 235 on the surface to 11,
right?
I think we do now there's a reason to really do some investigation. Obviously, they're doing that, and they're encouraging other people to do it. And I think I don't see this. Of course, anytime you see something from the Ninth Circuit Court, you see something from NPR, you see something that is not anti-gun, people on our side will act like this is some kind of isolated anomaly. I find NPR to be generally fair on the firearms issue. I see them have a lot of people from quote unquote our side on their shows. I've been on their shows, and this surprise me just to read this in from NPR. It surprises me the numbers were as skewed as they were, and I'm proud of them for showing that off.
My first reaction to this was, wow, this is coming from NPR. See, that's the initial reaction, because you look at them or think of them as a left-leaning, another left-leaning media outlet. But let me throw this statistic, because we're getting ready to end the hour, and here's what I want to point out. 93,000 plus K-12 public schools in this country, schooling millions upon millions of kids. And now NPR, to use Rob's words, peeling the layers back on this. The truth is out there, and we've known it all along. Rob Pincus, thank you, brother. Personal Defense Network, look him up. Until tomorrow, remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you on the radio. Great program today. Thanks again, Rob Pincus.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
What are you cooking tonight? Yo, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and as you know, like Mark, I have a passion for our gun rights. I also have a passion for great cooking, and I want to invite you to my new Facebook page. There you will get to see and hear what's new in the culinary world. Just go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio or search for Try This Dish Radio on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio, and remember, it's all about the food.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get 4 free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number of the number 4 guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.